If you're in John 7, we'll read three verses, verses 37 through 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Last Sunday we looked at verse number 30, where they would have arrested Jesus and killed him, except it was not his time. We also considered how that our own days are numbered, our own days are appointed, and our own days are determined of the Lord. We looked also last Sunday at verse 31, where many believed on Jesus, and we explored the two possibilities concerning verse number 31. First of all, that their belief was not genuine, like those in John 2 and those in John 6. And we considered the possibility that their faith was indeed real and genuine. So we looked at those two possibilities in verse number 31. Then in verse number 32, we looked at where the murmuring of the local residents seemed to have accomplished its goal as they send officers to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, they could not. An invisible power from above prevented them because it was not his time. And then last week we closed by looking at verses 33 and 34, and we considered the words of Jesus in response to those who hated him. His response was basically twofold, and we spent a good portion of the sermon in these two verses. His response was basically twofold. "In a little while, I will be gone. For those of you that hate me, in a little while, I will be gone." And then his second response was, "Ye will seek me and cannot find me." We consider the bright and happy thoughts and the bright and happy spots of verse number 33. And then we also consider the dark spots and the disturbing thoughts of verse number 34. And that was last week's sermon, and it can be found on Ustream. The video can be found there. The audio has not yet been uploaded to sermonaudio.com. For our message today, I want us to look at John 7 and 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." The celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles was now in its last day. This last day was a great feast. According to the directions of God in the Old Testament, this final day was not only a great feast, but it was a holy convocation, and it was a solemn assembly. This means that all would be gathered at the temple for the closing assembly of these 8 days of the Feast of Tabernacles. And so here again we see Jesus crying aloud so as to be heard by as many people as possible. All right? So here's the scene. It is the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacles. It is day number 8. It is, by the direction of God, a holy convocation. It is a solemn assembly. All of the people that have come to Jerusalem this week will be gathered in one place for the closing assembly. Jesus Christ lifts his voice loud so as to be heard by as many people as possible. And here is what he cried to this great throng of people. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Here the gospel is expressed in this very short sentence. Three words in this short sentence stand out, and we're going to emphasize these three words this morning. The first word that stands out in this short sentence is the word thirst. We'll discuss that word thirst. The second word that stands out is the word come. And the third word that stands out is the word drink. But before we get to those three words and the main thrust of the message, I want you to notice that in this short gospel message, Jesus addresses it to any man. You see that? You see that? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I have always believed, and I have always preached, and I still believe, and I still preach, a whosoever gospel. Amen. The gospel invitation given here by Jesus to the masses, and the gospel invitation given here from behind this pulpit, is a gospel invitation to every man. I tell you, friend, it matters not whether you are male or female. Christ gives an invitation to you. It matters not whether you are black or white or some other shade. It matters not if you are rich or poor or somewhere in between. It matters not if you are educated, highly educated, or a high school dropout. It matters not whether you are a good boy or a bad boy. It matters not if you are an American or an Iranian. It matters not whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. The gospel message of hope is to you. The gospel invitation of mercy is to you. Every man is invited to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, for satisfaction. Now I want to look at these three simple words, and this will be the message here. The first word, Jesus says, if any man thirsts. Thirst speaks about a recognized need. Is that not correct? I mean, thirst, just like hunger, is something that we are acutely conscious of. All right? I mean, if you are thirsty, you know it. Your mind knows it. Your body knows it. It is a craving that is right there in front of you. You're thirsty. It's something you must have. You recognize your need. Hunger is the same way. If you're hungry, your mind knows it. Your body knows it. It is a need. It is a craving. It is a desire that is front and center. You're hungry and you know it. Thirst is a recognized need. I mean, there are some things we need that we don't recognize. But when you're thirsty, you know it. When you're hungry, you know it. Thirst and hunger are a craving for that which we do not have in front of us. There is a soul thirst as well. There is a soul thirst. Not only does our body thirst, but our soul thirsts for that which it does not have. The problem is that a person drinks of every wrong thing trying to quench their thirst. I know you've done it. You're thirsty. And so you go grab a Coke. And you get done with that, you realize it hasn't satisfied your thirst. You're still thirsty. And so you maybe drink different beverages until you find something that hits the spot and quenches your thirst. This is the same thing with the soul. Our soul needs something. It longs for something. Our soul is thirsty for something. And we try everything that we can try to quench that thirsting of our soul. Same thing with physical food. Have you ever ate something and it didn't satisfy? You ever ate something and you're still hungry? You ever ate something and you thought you were hungry and you ate something and you actually were more hungry after you ate it? And so you're looking for something to quench that hunger. And you're looking for something to quench that thirst. It's the same way with a soul. It's the same way with our soul. We hunger and we thirst in our soul. And our soul craves satisfaction. It craves something to fill it. And we're running around looking for things to satisfy our soul. We go after pleasure. Different pleasures in this life. We go after things. We buy things. We buy more things. We go after money. We think more money will quench this thirsting of my soul. This hungering of my soul. We go after money. More money. More money. And we're not satisfied. I know everyone in this room thinks they would be satisfied with $1 million. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You'd want $2 million. You just would not be satisfied. We go after money. We go after fame. People go after power. They go after things of self-indulgence. And they're looking for something that will satisfy their soul. And at best, it's a temporary satisfaction. It's temporary. And then when the pleasure subsides, that hunger and that thirst in our soul rises up again, and we must go after more pleasure. The things that we bought, they give us pleasure for maybe days or weeks, and then we are looking for more things to satisfy that craving. Money. At one point, a certain amount of money is enough, and then we go for more. Fame, power, whatever it is, they give satisfaction, but it's temporary, and then we need more. And that temporary satisfaction ends up with us needing more pleasures, more things, more money, more fame, more power, more self-indulgence. And then just take that recipe and repeat it over and over and over and over again for most of your life. As you try to quench the thirsting of your soul. You know, I don't know about you, when I'm thirsty and I'm looking for something to quench my thirst, most of the time I find that water does it. I know some of you hate water. I know you hate water. I mean, some of you hate water with a passion. I understand that. But when I'm looking for something to quench my thirst, my physical thirst, I'll try this, I'll try that, and then water is usually what does it. And you are looking for something to quench the thirsting, the longing, the emptiness of your soul. And you're looking at pleasure, and you're looking at money, and you're looking at power, and you're looking at material things. And you buy them, and you do them, and you need them again and again and again. And you just can't find that everlasting quenching of the thirst of your soul. And so Jesus is appealing to those who feel that longing in their soul. He's appealing to those that sense that longing in their soul. He is crying out to those who feel that emptiness in their soul. That thirst for something. That thirst for someone. That thirst for something to satisfy them. You know as well as I do. Be honest with yourself. You got that emptiness. And you think pleasure will fill it. And it fills it for a little while. For a night. You go after things. If I had this. If I could buy this. If I could have that. If I could have that. It'll make me happy. If I could have a bigger home, a nicer car, better clothes, if I could have the latest gadgets, I would be happy. And that brings happiness and joy and satisfaction for a week or two or three or four. And then that emptiness returns. Money. Maybe money will help. And you blow through money and you need more. Listen, my friends. if you realize in your soul there is an emptiness, there is a thirst. In your soul, there is a longing. There is something missing. And you've tried everything. I'm speaking this morning to the one who knows there's something missing. You feel that thirst. You feel that longing. And you know that the things you've been trying do not help. This is who Jesus is crying out to. This is who the message is to. Those who feel that gnawing, that emptiness in their soul. Jesus is calling out to those who have an emptiness in their lives that nothing can fix. The second important word that we see in this short gospel sentence is the word come. Really one of the simplest words to understand. It's an invitation for you to approach. Come here. Come on. Come forward. Come to me. It's an easy, simple word to understand. An invitation for you to approach. In this case, it's an invitation for the thirsty sinner to approach to Christ. It is an invitation for you to come with your heart and your mind and your will to come to Jesus. If you would, just like you would with your feet, if He were here in person, and He were here at the front, and you realize that this man had the answers, he had what you needed, he extended an invitation for you for what you needed, and if He were here in person, you would come forward to Him. Just like you would come forward physically, Jesus invites you to come to Him with your heart, and come to Him with your mind, and come to Him with your will. And you coming to Jesus Christ indicates that you're turning your back on this world, a world that does not satisfy. You see, I hope that you've come to the place in your life where you realize that the things in this world do not satisfy. Temporarily, maybe. Maybe for a night. Maybe for a week. Maybe for a month. But then that craving comes back. That longing comes back. That emptiness comes back. And when you come to Jesus Christ, you are turning your back upon this world that you know does not satisfy. You realize there is nothing out there to make me happy. Coming to Jesus indicates that you're not only turning your back on the world and coming to Him, but it indicates that you're turning your back on sin. You know, sin hurts mankind and it dishonors God. You do understand that the things that God declares to be sin. Now let me say this. There are a lot of things that people say are sin that God doesn't. Okay? We need to get that clear. All right? Just because so-and-so says it's a sin does not mean that it is. All right? We're only interested this morning in what God says is sin. And I want you to understand that sin, genuine sin, does two things. It always hurts mankind, and it always dishonors God. And when you come to Jesus Christ with your heart, your soul, your mind, when you come to Him, you're turning your back on this world saying, it has nothing for me. And you're turning your back on sin saying it's hurtful and it dishonors God. When you come to Christ, you are embracing God. You are embracing Christ. You coming to Jesus means that you realize, are you listening? You coming to Jesus means that you realize, no matter how hard you try, and no matter how many things you try, you cannot fix the longing in your soul. Do you understand? Do you understand? That's why we pray. We pray to God because there are things we can't fix. We pray to God because there are things that we can't do anything about. You know what? We have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Everybody says, you know, pray for so-and-so, they're sick, pray for this, pray for that. And you know why they're asking us to pray for them? Because there's nothing that we can do about it. If we could do something about it, we would do something about it. But we can't do something about it. And so we pray to God who can do something about it. And when you come to Christ, you realize, I've got this emptiness. I've got this longing. I've got this thirst, and I admit I can't do anything about it. I cannot fix it. You coming to Jesus means that you realize no matter how hard you try, you can never please God on your own. You can never make yourself fit for heaven, and you can never satisfy that longing in your soul. Notice that Jesus says this, if any man thirst, let him come to me. Let him come unto me. The invitation this morning that Jesus Christ gives to you is for you to come to him. Not come and receive communion. Not come and receive baptism. Not come and join the church. Not come to a priest or a preacher. But come to Jesus. The invitation is to Jesus Christ. It's that easy, my friend. Come to Jesus with a believing heart. Come to Jesus realizing you can do nothing to fix that longing, that emptiness, that thirst in your soul. The first word is to those who thirst, to those who recognize their need, to those who recognize the emptiness in their soul. The second word is come. If you recognize the emptiness, come to Jesus. If you realize you can't fix it, you've been trying to fix it, you can't, come to Jesus. The third word that I believe is important is this word, drink. Drink. And here's where so many people fail. Listen carefully. Here's where so many people fail. They recognize their emptiness. They recognize their thirst. They recognize their longing. And they seem to come toward Jesus. They seem to come toward Jesus. They move in His direction. They show an interest. Their curiosity is perked. They show that they're interested. They show that they're concerned. But they stop short of drinking. Jesus said, if you thirst, come unto me and drink. You know, a sparkling, cool river running through a country where people are dying of thirst only benefits them if they drink. Amen? You understand that? A sparkling, cool, clean river flowing through a land where people are dying of thirst, it only helps them if they actually drink. You remember in ancient Israel, the story of the first Passover. It did not matter if ancient Israel actually slew the lamb on that first Passover and actually collected that lamb's blood in a basin. That didn't matter. It had to be applied to the doorpost if the angel of death was to pass over their home. It must be applied. They could kill the lamb as God directed. They could collect that lamb's blood in a basin as God directed. But if they stopped there, the death angel would not pass over, but would stop in their home. It doesn't matter, friend, if you recognize your need and you begin to show concern and you begin to show interest and you begin to move toward God. Recognizing your need and your emptiness and your longing and your thirst of your soul is good, and I'm glad that you recognize it. And starting to come toward God is good, and I'm glad that you're coming toward God. I'm glad you're showing an interest in spiritual things. But you must receive Him. Knowing your need is not enough. Coming more and more toward Jesus is good, but it's not enough. You must come all the way to Jesus and you must receive Him fully. Let me remind you that Jesus did not speak these words in a penitentiary, but He spoke these words in a temple. Christ was not addressing a company of criminals, but He was addressing a crowd of religious people that were in their church doing religious things. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you've got an interest in God, an interest in spiritual matters. But my friend, it's not enough. Your interest is not enough. People within the church are there because of some interest, but they must come to Christ and receive Him fully. You see, criminals aren't the only people who need Jesus to change their lives. Religious people, if they're not genuine Christians, need Jesus to change their lives as well. We all know religious people who most certainly do not act like Christians. Amen. Can I get an amen? We all know religious people that certainly do not act like real Christians. They need Jesus Christ too. Just as much as the greatest sinner. The greatest religious person needs Jesus Christ too. People in churches need to admit that their religious motions, their religious movements have left them empty. And they too need to come to Jesus and fully receive Him. Three things. Now I'm going to go into my conclusion in just a moment. Three things. Thirst. Jesus cried out to him that thirsts. Do you know that longing? Do you feel that longing? Do you know that it's there? That emptiness? Have you tried all kinds of things year after year after year, and yet that emptiness is still there? The invitation is to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, my friend. He and He alone can satisfy that longing in your soul. But you need to come all the way. Being here today is not far enough. You need to come all the way and receive Christ fully. Take Him in to your life. Receive Him. If you're parched with thirst and there's a bottle of clear, sparkling water there, it does you no good unless you pick it up and drink it. And your interest in Christ is not enough. You must come to Him and receive Him into your life. Now look at verses 38 and 39, John 7, and we'll conclude here in just a moment. He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. What we have here is some more imagery. Do you remember in John chapter 4 when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well? He used with her the same illustration of water. And these are illustrations that Jesus is using. He said to her that if she would drink the water that He offered, that she would never thirst again. The same thing is being said here. You, my friend, have this emptiness. You have this longing. You have this unhappiness. You have this thirsting in your soul, and nothing can get rid of it. You seek pleasure, and when the pleasure is over, the emptiness returns, and you must seek more fun. You seek money and possessions, and before long you feel the same unhappiness, and you seek more money and more possessions. You seek fame and power, and yet it is never enough, and so you seek more. You realize that Jesus is where you should turn. You come to Him, and you drink, and you receive Him fully into your heart, and you receive Him fully into your life. And the result is that the Spirit of God comes to dwell in you. And then you will have within you a constant flow of satisfaction. You realize that you must come to Christ and receive Him. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. And you have within you a constant flow of satisfaction. You never thirst again. Because God is in you, and God is always with you, and God gives you peace that fills that emptiness. And there is always within you, flowing like a river, always new and fresh peace, always new and fresh satisfaction, always new and fresh mercy, always new and fresh love, always new and fresh comfort, always new and fresh forgiveness, always new and fresh joy. You drink of Christ, and from that point on, you never thirst again. Like He told the woman at the well, you drink My water, and you shall never thirst again. And He tells this crowd, if you'll come to Me and drink of Me, you'll never thirst again, because out from you will flow rivers of water. You will always have satisfaction and peace and joy and love and mercy and comfort and forgiveness flowing from you. You'll never have to look around for anything else to satisfy. You'll never have to run after money to fill that emptiness. You'll never have to run after pleasure to fill that emptiness, because that emptiness is filled from within. When God is in you, you have all that your soul craves. If any man thirst, let him come to Jesus and drink, and he shall forever be satisfied in his soul.